Just wanted to say what a privilege it is to be able to share with you some snippets of my journey. Feel like at the moment overwhelmed because of what happened this morning, throwing out pages left, right and centre. But I wanted to, share with you some snippets of how God has always been faithful, even before I knew him in my life. I feel like I've had a long life after I've written my notes. Today I want to share more of my early journey of faith with you because I see that as I reflect on God's goodness to me, that he laid some really amazing foundations that I feel very blessed and privileged to have received from him in way of spiritual formation and journey and preparing and having a plan for me in my life. So there'll be some stories later on that were really amazing as well, but you won't get to hear them. But as I said, with 830 people, a couple of people took me up on it, that if you want to hear more, bring me up and we'll go have a cuppa and I'll share my stories and love to hear stories from you too. So for those who don't know me very well, I'm Julie and I'm the children's pastor here at MacChap and also administration pastor. And I feel very blessed and privileged to have that role and to speak in God's word into the heart of our young people and love seeing their aha moments when they, I guess, have an altar of remembrance of how God is good to them as they hear stories from the Bible, but also as we journey together and see prayer answered. So, thank God for that privilege and opportunity. I want to give you a reasonable overview because with the altars of remembrance in my life that I want to share with you today, they're bits all over the place, so some framework about who I am. I was born and raised in Perth, WA, with no Christian upbringing whatsoever. I had two siblings, an older brother and a younger sister. And as a young adult, I heard about Jesus and became a follower, compelled by the message of Jesus Christ. And as I said before, I had a very strong spiritual formation with God providing me amazing opportunities to be discipled and grow. I met Nathan while I was still in Perth and he lived in Kalgoorlie, 600 kilometres away. Total God story there. We got married a few years later and within a few years after that, we were called to go to Bible college, which we'd both come to faith as, I guess, Nathan more a teenager and me a late teen at 19. And we both started our church journey in the Salvation Army. And so we went to a Salvation Army Bible College in Melbourne to be equipped and trained as ordained ministers, because in that denomination, both the male and the female are ordained as ministers. After our amazing Bible College experience, which once again has layers and layers of stories, we were posted to two churches in Tasmania. So the Salvation Army system isn't where a church calls a minister. The Salvation Army organisation send you somewhere. So we went to two different churches there. Once again, lots of stories. One country town in Bridgewater, in Huonville, and then in Bridgewater, which is in Hobart, outer suburbs of Hobart. Quite a low socioeconomic demographic, so lots and lots of issues for people struggling with life in general, really. So it was a real challenging time and place where our faith was challenged, where our circumstances were challenging, and trusting God was just paramount in that situation, and God did some amazing miracles there. However, from Bible college days, all the way through our journey, so over about 7 or 8 years, God placed a calling on Nathan's life, in particular in a ministry area, to equip you guys, the everyday people who are part of God's family, who are out in the world day in, day out, to equip them to be able to share their faith and, to be able to grow in a way that their ministry can be really effective. Because through our journey, we'd seen how, I guess, God had equipped us And God had sent him on a real journey with that. We tried to do that through the Selvos, but we just kept hitting roadblocks. So we knew in our hearts that we had to follow God's call. And so when the annual changeover came of ministers, we just laid it before the Lord. And it became apparent to us that we needed to leave. And so at that point, we just said to the Selvos, we need to leave, and not knowing where God was taking us. And they provide you a house and a car, so you leave with pretty much nothing. But God was faithful and gave Nathan a position in Sydney working with a Christian organisation called Church Army, who are a lay society of everyday Christians who are called to be evangelists. And so it was a beautiful place for him to be able to be a part of a team of training those young people for, of all age really, for ministry. So we landed here in Sydney, which was really amazing. And at some point in that, we had our daughter Maddie, and God's journeyed and blessed us in so many ways. So I'm just going to skip through some of these that we're not going to do this morning. There's that picture to my journey with Jesus. Let's get rid of some of these pages. As I shared with the kids, altars of remembrance is just a way, a tool, I guess, of helping us to remember the Lord. And when we go through struggles and trials of all sorts of varied natures, because we're all different and in different places of the world, in different stages of our faith, these things come at us, right? These are ways, tools to help us to reflect back, not only through scripture of the way God has blessed his people through the text that God's given us, but also through our personal journeys of where God has led us. And I know I have also had the privilege and blessing with some of the families here at church to be able to journey with you and some of your stories and be able to put pins on your lives and say, hey, that's a place where you can go back to when things are tough. You can see very clearly that God blessed you and God provided for you. Use that and share it with your family, share it with those in your journey so that you might be stronger. And that's really what it's about. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit in us, but I think we lose our brains somewhere along the way. We get forgetful of how God has blessed us. And so I think God provides these places in our journey to say, yes, together, we got through this because of God. And so we can get through whatever's happening now. So where to begin? It was definitely way before I knew anything about God existing, not growing up in a Christian household. But my story today starts when I was 7 years old, a day that I see God's protection of me and my family in an amazing way. My dad had just got his first brand new car. Those of you who've had a first new car, you'll know what that feeling is like. He loved it dearly. And for those who are car guys or girls, it was a metallic brown, black Holden Kingswood station wagon. Gotta love it. It was the 70s. It was his pride and joy. But anyway, back in those days, seatbelts weren't really required very much. They were like an optional extra. And this particular day, there were 9 of us in our Holden station wagon. So there was my mum and my dad, my nana, my pop, my great-grandmother. They were all in seatbelts. My sister was in the back in the middle in her car seat. That leaves 3 of us in the box in the back. So we were driving on a late Sunday afternoon after having a very big day out. And I don't think we were heading into the sun, but I think there was a driver who was heading towards us on the wrong side coming over a bridge and hit us fair square. Poor dad and his beautiful car. He was very upset. But I'm very thankful that we all got out of the car. But there is a story told in the family history I got out of the car quite dizzy, and I said to my nan, I stood there and looked at her and I said, "Nan, your head looks like a lemon." And so my family thought, there's something going on here. And so I was sent off to hospital to be checked out. But I think once again in the 70s, that was a bit, I don't know, blah, because I don't recall ever having any tests. So I got there late in the day on a Sunday. And by early morning on the Monday, I was in the hospital school learning. And so, I don't know, they just probably observed me and thought, yeah, she's okay. But ever since that point in time, as many of you here will know, I suffer from reasonably bad headaches, including being quite nauseous, especially when I overdo it. And so I would regularly overdo it as a kid, as kids do. And one of our family rituals, a great extended family, all of us would lob at my nan's on a Saturday afternoon so the men could go the footy. All us kids ran, teared around the backyard doing all sorts of crazy things. Well, it was usual on a Saturday night. I would be holding my head in the car and trying not to vomit in my dad's beautiful Duco. But I found a way to help me not to feel as bad in the car, but actually look at it now and think God did that. Between my grandparents' place and my home, probably about a 20-minute drive, I guess, were all these beautiful Federation homes, and they had stained glass windows. And so my thing was to look at the stained glass windows, try and find every single one on the way home, to try and focus. And it really blessed me. I really felt joy in seeing the beautiful lights coming through those stained glass windows. And interestingly enough, God has continued that journey for me with stained glass windows in my life. Just a little joy that he brings to me because he wants to, because he loves me. When I was a teenager, my headaches were finally diagnosed as that I got whiplash in that car accident at 7. So it all made sense, putting it all together, because what human being who's young tossed around the back of a car wouldn't come up with some sort of damage? Anyway, I went to a chiropractor for a little bit, and it never really affected, you know, doing sport and activities. It was just a thing that happened whenever I ever did stuff. Jumping to high school now, I had on my heart to be a primary school teacher. Everyone has something they want to be, right? That was me, because a few of my teachers were really, really awesome. But for some reason in WA at that time, going to uni or teachers' college just wasn't a thing, a generational thing. And so I can vividly remember sitting on the steps at home after the mail had been delivered, opening up the fact that I got into teachers' college to be able to go to primary school teaching. And in my heart, it was leaping, thinking, this is great news. My mum came out the front door and said, "What are you doing?" And I told her, and she goes, "No, you're going to go get a job." In those days, in that situation, wasn't a battle I thought that I could successfully win, so I just caved and said, "Okay," and got a job in the bank. But God had other plans, unbeknownst to me at the time. So a different story for my best friend. She was passionate about nursing. She was a beautiful Catholic young friend, but once again, who knows what Catholicism is? I did not. But she was a great friend. She went into nursing in the days when you lived in with other nurses and you did a university course alongside your practical hospital training. So being my best friend, I'd go in and see her a lot. She was in this cohort where there were heaps of other nurses who were Christians. And I sometimes say that my discipleship, because that's what that was the group who discipled me in the end, is like a pub joke, because there was a Baptist, two Salvos, an Anglican and a Brethren. So I got a very, very full and varied discipleship through those beautiful young women. But at that point, I digress, because I want to go back a step. In that whole journey of not knowing Christ, there was one single time that I remember going to a scripture class. And this is a bookmark that someone gave me much later on that is one of my altars of remembrance for me, that God had planted that seed in my heart back when I was in primary school, and the verse is Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. What a beautiful intimate verse that God spoke to me in, but I'd totally put out of my brain until the point in time when I actually believed in him. So this new group of nursing friends, we would go out and do fun things, bike riding, bushwalking, going out for meals, going to the markets. But then they got brave and they invited me to a Christian youth weekend. It was a Selvo event, but once again, what was I to know? But over that period of that weekend, I got to know who Jesus was, that I could be forgiven for the life I'd been living without him, which was pretty ordinary, sometimes pretty bad, and needed forgiveness. And I learned that I could have relationship with God, my Heavenly Father. And I met lots of beautiful young Christian people who were just full of life and showed care and love for me and who was I. I learnt amazingly things called worship songs, and these young people were belting them out with all their hearts. It was just an amazing experience. But most importantly for me, the experience was that I realised I needed God. I saw in these young people what I needed. So on the final evening of the weekend, we were invited to commit our lives to Christ if we thought that was something that was right for us. My heart was just racing. I was so overwhelmed. And if you've experienced that, you know what it's like. And I was compelled to go and give my life to the Lord. And I have another altar of remembrance with lots of scribbles on the side later, but that was my commitment to Jesus. And those of us who signed that day, for his sake today and tomorrow, his disciple I'll be, building a new world, a new world. Another beautiful experience I had, which I don't have a picture of, but I've definitely got it in my mind, of God providing another beautiful stained glass window opportunity. I'd never been into a church until I started going to the Selvos, but their building was quite like this. But on Christmas Eve, my friends took me to the Perth Cathedral and for a midnight service. And even now, just get shivers just thinking of walking in there and seeing all those beautiful stained glass. Sharing the good news of Jesus was just impacted me so amazingly and felt very, very blessed, but also by the whole experience. And to this day, I love midnight service. It really blesses me. And another thing that was amazing too, and that I don't know that you ever throw away Bibles. I definitely haven't thrown away my first one, which one of my Christian nursing friends took me to buy my first Bible. And now you can see there's actual pages falling out. But she made this beautiful suede cover, handmade on the front. Maddie later put stickers on there. But it's precious to me and reminds me of my journey, especially my young years of faith and how God had plans and purposes for me. About a year into being a Christian, my local Salvation Army church gave me an amazing Christian experience to be enrolled in a youth leadership kind of discipleship training course, and there was lots of different facets of it over the year, but there was this one thing where I saw God answer my prayer just amazingly and specifically. It was a camp weekend, and so got home from work Friday. It was a big stormy night, rain and wind, and I packed my bags, put them in the car, so I thought, and drove off. Partway along the way, I thought I'd need to stop and pull over and see what the map actually has to say of where I'm going that they'd provided, because There's no internet back then, so I wasn't just finding it. And then my heart sunk because I realised that I'd left my Bible with those notes sitting on the top of my car as I'd left. So I drove home, bit of a panic, got back there. There was my Bible on the floor next to where the car had been parked, but no pages. So frantically, I ran the streets at night in the rain thinking, I'm never going to get there because I can't find these pieces of paper that had the map and all the instructions. And then all of a sudden, God entered me and said, stop. And so I did. And I had the brain space to pray and say, God, you know, I'm not going to get there unless you help me find these pieces of paper. And with that, amen, I just opened my eyes and just walked. I wasn't walking anywhere deliberately or anything. And yes, I found those papers just under a tree further up where I hadn't looked before. Thank you, God. I got back in the car. I knew where I was going, got to the camp, an amazing camp, and got to share my story with those people of God answering my prayer. That is another altar of remembrance of me, for me, of God just answering that prayer. It was beautiful. And Sharon, you'll appreciate this one because I didn't get to tell it earlier this morning. But that camp was instrumental in learning so many things, including a prayer that you do with dance moves. And whenever I say the Lord's Prayer, I have that going around in my head and it blesses me every time. God is good. Still going. As I said, there's many stories of significance in my spiritual walk. One such story I'll tell you because it's instrumental in Nathan and I getting together, me meeting him. It was at a Petra concert. I don't know if any of you have seen or heard of Petra before, but yes, there's some yeses there. Awesome. They're a pretty heavy rock band from the US. And during that time, lots of Christian bands came to Australia, and I was very blessed in my young Christian life to be able to go and receive from those opportunities. Anyway, that particular concert, I was sitting next to Nathan in the midst of a sea of salvos, probably about 50 of us there. He'd travelled down from Kalgoorlie, which I think I've already said is 600 kilometres from Perth. He went to the Kalgoorlie salvos. Well, pretty much at the start of the concert, the two of us headed to the mosh pit and danced the night away. Was that a chance meeting? I think it was a God meeting. And I'll follow that thread in a minute, but I need to detour about now to tell you the next part of the story. So I was living at a home at the time with a beautiful young Christian woman whose parents were missionaries. So she was looking after their home. And we had a beautiful boy to live with us too. Many wonderful stories and blessings that I can't tell you today. But one day, my dad rang to ask if I could take my mum away on a holiday because she wasn't coping. She wasn't coping because my sister had been suffering with the disease of anorexia, which is an eating disorder. And it was actually the reason why I had to move out of home. Sorry. As my sister's psychiatrist said that I was part of the problem, because you won't believe it, back that day, in those days I was super thin. And she said that the way I looked was affecting my sister's health. So my mum wasn't coping, helping look after my sister, who was in and out of hospital at various times and nearly passed away. And it was a real difficult and scary time for all of us. I wasn't keen on taking my mum away, but my dad said, you must, and I needed to take her to Kalgoorlie because a lot of my family were from Kalgoorlie and they'd arranged it. So I was able to arrange holidays with work and went to Kalgoorlie. As an aside, during my young Christian walk with my sister being so ill, I tried to talk with her, prayed for her. Nothing seemed to get through. And much later in my journey, since I've been living in Sydney, there was a further family breakdown. And since that time, my sister hasn't had contact with any of us family members, which is something that really breaks my heart. And it really grieves me. So, because I love and miss her, so this, I guess, is an important altar of remembrance of hope in me. And if you're ever thinking of praying for me for something, that's the thing I'd love you to pray for. Thank you. Didn't know this was going to happen. And those of you who know me well may notice that I wear this ring on my finger. My sister made that for me when I was in high school, when she was in high school, sorry. And it just continues to remind me that I have hope that God will, I don't know, either this in this life or that she would come to faith somehow and that I would see her in heaven. So I took my mum, where am I took my mum to Kalgoorlie. Long story to get there, sorry. We went to my auntie's workplace to pick up a key. Who should she be working with? Nathan. So, long story short, we spent a lot of that week, because I think we were in Kalgoorlie for a week, hanging out with him and his mates, which was a really amazing experience. The faith of the young Christians in Kalgoorlie was just phenomenal, and being immersed in that just brought me such joy. And I guess, too, my heart was beating a little bit, and so I prayed and just said to God, God, if you want me to have a boyfriend, just let me know. Because I don't know. And after about a month and several phone catch-ups, Nathan asked me out. And think, like, long-distance relationship, how does that work? But once again, I tell a story of God's amazing miracles. Because, yes, my family, some of my family, my grandparents, a cousin, auntie and uncle lived in Kalgoorlie, but hardly ever went there, right? But over about a, I don't know, 8-week period, we got to see each other 5 times with not anything to do with us just visiting each other. So one was my grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary, going up there for that. My goddaughter's baptism, I went up for that. We had an Easter camp that for youth that Nathan came down for. He came down also for my birthday, which I guess is to do with me. But then a very sad occurrence, a friend who had come down from Cal for a Christian concert on the way back on his journey with a mate, he was killed in the car accident. So I went to Kalgoorlie for the funeral. But I guess the altar of remembrance for me in that is that I was the last person to see him before he went on his journey. And I could testify that the concert had really impacted him. I don't know if any of you once again know of Leslie Phillips, a Christian American artist. Just beautiful lyrics. And this guy was beaming as he left, almost bouncing out of the theatre. And so I could really see that he was close to the Lord. And so knowing that and being able to share that with his family and his friends was a real amazing thing. So I guess all this, in a way, helps paint a picture of my early life in Jesus. There's many more layers, but there were tough times, there were good times, God was there. Moving a lot quicker now. At some point, Nathan and I got engaged, then we were married, we bought a small apartment in Perth. The suburbs were full of those beautiful Federation houses. We didn't have one, but we were able to walk the streets and I was still able to see those beautiful stained glass windows. I'm going to skip that bit. Look, I even skipped a whole page for you this morning. I guess over the years there's been lots of amazing moments. I want to share one with you that occurred in this very room. I think it was back probably about, it was 2007. Our cleaner was away at the time, and so our staff team worked out a roster to who was going to do what to help clean the place while the cleaner was away. One of my jobs was bin duty, so I had to go around all of the buildings and, you know, empty all the bins. Done all that, finished my work for the day and left. Driving down Herring Road, about to cross, sitting at the lights at Epping Road, just looked at my engagement ring, which I don't have on today, and I'll tell you about that in a second. Noticed the stone was gone, and my heart sank. I didn't know what to do. I was heading across, so I'm guessing I was going to the Mac Centre, but I decided to detour into Malling because I knew Gail would be there and I just needed to see someone. And so I got into her office, bawled my eyes out. She obviously comforted me, the beautiful Gail. And we chatted. I talked with Nathan on the phone. He was wonderful. He said, "We'll just buy you a new diamond." And I thought, I love my diamond, I don't want to not have it. So Gail and I came back, did a bit of a search in the afternoon with no success. Still heavy-hearted, I came back to work the next morning and walked to the whole site where I knew I'd been. And you know, between the ministry centre and the car park there, it's got all these little glinting things. And I thought, how am I ever going to find this? Getting reasonably anxious. Got to the final building, which was church. And so I just said, "Lord, this is it. I really want to find my diamond. I'm leaving it in your hands." And some of you may remember who've been here for a long time, the sound desk used to have like this big piano hinge on it to get the lid off and on. You can see, a very pared back version now in the big hall. I must have got my ring caught somehow or other in the piano hinge or the lip of the thing as I was putting it down as part of my cleaning regime on the day before. I looked down and there was my diamond at the foot of that sound desk there. My heart rejoiced and I came all the way here and knelt and gave thanks to God. It was just such a beautiful moment that He'd blessed me with that. My ring now is needing more work, so I'm not risking it, and so I have to take it to the jeweller again. 15 years later, because it was just before our 20th wedding anniversary that I lost the diamond. So if you add up, that's how long we've been married, which has been a real blessing. I guess over the years, God's journeyed with me and given me great spiritual, deep times with Him as well. Maybe quietly when I've been in devotional time or prayer and listening to God. And sometimes it's when God's intentionally placed someone in my path, and I'm guessing you guys have got stories like this too, chance meetings or phone calls where God just brings about joy or a need that's fulfilled by that other person in my life or vice versa. I just find those times when God does that as a true blessing from Him, because He knows we need each other and that we need to speak into each other's hearts and lives. Me and God and nature go together like this as well, times on the beach or walking in the bush. But one of the most spiritual times I've ever had with God was walking in Cradle Mountain. We were supposed to walk from the top, Cradle Mountain, to Lake St Clair, but it was closed at the top because of bad weather. So we drove all the way down to the bottom to see if we could start walking in. We did that. The first day was a day like today. It was absolutely glorious. The next day, we walked, and towards the end of the day, it was just drizzling. Overnight, it rained heavily. By the morning, 5 a.m., it was snowing. This was the January time we tried to walk it, pretty sure. Anyway, so we knew we had to walk out, but that day was so spectacular. It was so silent, and all you could hear was your feet walking, scrunching in the ice on the track, and this amazing presence of God just filled the whole time. Nathan and I just walked in silence. It was just absolutely beautiful. And I'm so thankful for that, that it's an altar of remembrance for me. But I want to leave you this morning with one of my most recent favourite altars of remembrance that actually involves some of you ladies and gentlemen. A few months ago, earlier this year, it was a day when several of us went to help Katrina Rowe to be able to pack up house. Chris and Katrina grew up in the country and had always had a dream to go back and raise their kids there, but so far it hadn't happened. And God placed on their heart that this was maybe the time, and Katrina had got an interview for a job down in Wagga, which is where her parents had recently moved to. And Chris had this thought, well, I better get moving if Katrina's got an interview. So he put an application in somewhere. Trine didn't get that job, but Chris did get his job, and he had to start really quickly. So he had to race off already to Wagga and left Trine with the kids to pack up house. And so a group of us, I don't know, about 15 of us, I think, from the 10:30 service, such a blessing, all jumped in on that Saturday, and there was so much activity of getting all this packing done and, inside, outside, all over the place. And that in itself was a real blessing because they had a deadline to get out of their home. But when I think of the time when we'd finished the time of when we were going to finish pack up, we had some lunch together and we were just chatting. And there was this absolute awesome moment where God filled the room, because both Katrina, as well as Kaz McIntosh, who also was in the process of a move locally, and Katrina and Chris to Wagga, they shared their story, their journey of how God had done miracles in getting them to where they were going. Katrina with the house in Wagga near a school overlooking beautiful grounds, and Kaz reminding us of God's faithfulness to her in providing a place that they could afford that was going to be a sanctuary for them. And there were some things that the people who were moving out of their home, lots of people wouldn't have coped with the timing and stuff like that. And Kaz knew that was okay for her, and that God had given her that place because she knew she could meet their requirements. Goosebumps. And then each of them said, and there's been things that we didn't utter to God in prayer, but we knew in our hearts that we wanted for our kids and our family, and God answered them. It was just so beautiful. And if you were there, I hope you experienced that awe of God in our midst, a beautiful community time. That's what God does. That's who God is. So I want to encourage you, share that story, or maybe go and find Kaz and Katrina and find out the full version of their stories. But build your own altars of remembrance and share them across generations, because I think that's how, together with the Lord, we will move forward and grow and continue generation after generation following him, because he speaks to us personally. Let's use it. I don't know if I've skipped any of my... Oh, I think I have. Just suffice to say that both my houses in my Maryland's house, when we moved to Sydney, had a stained glass window, praise God. And this is now my front door window, stained glass. He has blessed me all the way through with that thread and remembrance of my journey as a kid, and the fact that when my head is pounding, I can be thankful that I lived. on that early day of my life. I want to share with you some words from the Lord to encourage us as we live for Him to end with. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So God bless you, and thank you for listening to my story this morning.